Thank you for taking the time to listen to our weekly service. This is a listener-supported ministry, and we ask that you pray and see what God would have you give. Now let's get to our sermon for today.
It is finished. I don't know if you realize the full potential of these words from Christ, but in John chapter 19, verse 30, our verse for today, is when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he's on the cross now, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. What I'm going to do is to help you understand this a little bit better. We're going to jump back to the Old Testament briefly. In the Old Testament, they had the law, and they had a lot of things to take care of for their sins they had to do. And this sheet that you have, well, I'm not going through the sheet. What I did was I wanted you just to see how much is involved just in the sacrifices. This is just the sacrifices. You have five basic ones at the bottom left-hand side. You have the five basic sets. But all, now, I wish I had larger paper to make this bigger. I apologize for that, but this is the biggest I could do and put it on a single sheet of paper. So you can get your magnifying glass when you go home. Again, I'm not going over this sheet. I just want to get you an idea. Now, this is not the law. This is just the sacrifices that they had to do because of disobeying the law. The Ten Commandments is the tip of the iceberg of the law that had to be kept. And if you go into Genesis, Exodus, and Leviticus, it goes into detail with the laws and everything. And it's far more complex than that sheet is. And I wanted you to be aware of that because the law was given for one reason. And that was to show that they couldn't do it. And God, in his timetable, decided for them to go through all this time to show that they couldn't keep the law. That's why the high priest had to go into the Holy of Holies once a year. Because they couldn't keep it all. And he had to go in there for the sins of all Israel once a year. Just to keep up with this stuff. And it all starts off with these five basic offerings that you see on the bottom left hand. So God brought all this about to show Israel that they couldn't keep the law at all. And in Romans chapter 3 verse 10 it says this. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So God is telling us, by the works of the law, by us keeping the law, no flesh will ever be justified in his sight. No flesh will ever make it to heaven by keeping the law. And then he goes one step further and says, by the law is the knowledge of sin. That was the reason the law came in. Now, I'll give you a couple of illustrations. Think of Adam and Eve. Before they sinned, they didn't know they were naked. There was nothing shameful about it. Nothing. There was no lust. There was nothing. But the moment they ate of that fruit and sin entered into it, all of a sudden, now, it was a shame. They realized they were naked. And being naked, they naturally want to cover themselves. And what happens? God performed the first sacrifice and put animal skins on them to cover themselves up. And because of all that knowledge now, they're kicked out of the Garden of Eden. An angel and a flaming sword keeps them from coming back. They can't enter it. They lose eternal life. They already had eternal life. Now they lose it. Now they're going to die. Childbearing is one of the curse. And by the way, I don't know if you women realize this or not, but if you really do your study, obedience to the husband is part of the curse. It is. And then men... Our curse is that we got to work for a living and support our families. And that's part of the curse. That's what it means when the ground will not yield to us easily. We will have to work it as part of the curse. All this because sin came into our knowledge of it. And then I think of another one that's easy for me that I relate to. And there's other, I'm sure you can relate to different ones, is driving, riding your bike. You know, back in the Model T days, they probably didn't have any speed limits. The cars didn't go very fast to begin with. Or couldn't go very fast and on. But eventually, the same road they were going down with no speed limit, one day they posted a sign and said the speed limit is 30 miles an hour. All of a sudden, the law came into existence, and now if you were going what you used to do, you were breaking the law. And that's what God did with the Old Testament. He showed them the law, because they, remember, they didn't. God didn't want them to have a king. I don't know if you realize that or not. God didn't want them to have a king. God was going to be their king. But they kept whining all the time, and finally they gave him Saul. Or Samuel. Saul. I'm sorry, Saul. Anyhow, and gave it to him. And he warned them, if you get a king, he's going to tax you, he's going to put burdens on you, unnecessary, that you don't have them. Oh, but they had to have it. So many things that happened in the Old Testament. And now we have the law, and we know that because of the law, that we're sinning against God. And they did not know the law until that law came into existence. And then when that happened, now they realize they're sinning against God. They're sinning against, you know, what's right and wrong. But then, all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, but in God's plan, Christ comes into the world. And he gives himself as a final offering. And in John chapter 10, verse 18, he talks about himself. He says, no man taketh it from me. And he's referring to his life. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. No one killed Christ on that cross. Okay, I want you to understand that. Now, here's, I shared this, I don't forget, I lose track of time. I shared with you that being crucified on the cross was a common thing for Christians. Okay, what they did was, after they'd been on the cross for a while, they would go up and break their legs. And the reason was, is they were holding themselves up while they were suffering. And when they broke the legs, they couldn't hold themselves up anymore, and they would literally suffocate and die. When they went to do that, the guy, a soldier, went up to break his legs, and he saw he was already dead. And so he took his spear and put it in his side, and then it says blood and water came out. There's significance, which I'm not going to talk about there. If you ever want to find out about the water, it's really interesting. But anyhow, and then what? Remember what he said? He said, this truly is the Son of God. Jesus Christ gave up the ghost. They didn't kill him. And today, he came back to life again. And just as the verse says, I have the power to bring it back or to take it. But though Christ's death was violent and cruel, and it was, I don't know if you've ever heard sermons on the crucifixion. It's a very painful thing. And he was up there for some 6 hours. I mean, that's a long time. And yet, it still was a voluntary sacrifice. He knew he had to go up there. And that's why he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane that he would not have to go up there. He knew, and it wasn't the death, it wasn't the suffering, it was the separation of God the Father to the Son is what he feared. Christ lived some 33 years without sinning once. He had to become that perfect sacrifice. And Christ had to fulfill every letter of the law. Now, please understand that. Every letter, big, small, every piece of the law had to be fulfilled. And that's why it says that he came into the world and was tempted as we were, yet without sin. He had to feel exactly what we felt when we sinned. He had to feel that same temptation. The difference was he never yielded to it. But he felt the same temptation. And God fulfilled the letter of the law. And God is holy and he's righteous, the Father. And he could not look on the sin. And that's why when he was on the cross, Christ had to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He knew why. But it still hurt. The perfect fellowship between God the Father and God the Son got broken up because of us. Because of our sin. But yet, he was working towards the end when he could say, it is finished. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. When I first got this verse, where kind of the Lord opened it up to me, was I was at a Christian camp. And the pastor there came up to me and said, "Glenn, I want you to do the devotions for the cabin." Well, I didn't know what to do. I started going through the Bible trying to find, and I came across this. And it turned out to be a blessing to me. But it says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." God's timetable here. God had to wait long enough to make sure Israel understood they couldn't get to heaven by their works. So at the right time, the timetable, God sends forth his son. And the best part about it is he was made flesh, just like us. He was made of a woman, but not of a father. The Holy Spirit was the father. And he was made under the law. He had to obey the law just the way Israel had to obey the law. The difference was he did it without sinning. And can you think about this? How many sins did it take to get out of the Garden of Eden?
One.
Christ could not go to that cross with one sin in 33 years. We can't make it a day. God's grace and his mercy. And he had to pay the sin once and for all. And because of all this, it is finished. For us as Christians, there is three greatest words we'll ever hear, and that is, it is finished. It is done. The law has been fulfilled. It's been paid for in full. The debt's paid. All the Old Testament offerings and the law are now fulfilled, and we don't have to do anything in those sheets. Can you imagine if we had to live those sheets right now? We wouldn't have time for work. I mean, that is a lot of obligation. Not counting reading the law of what you're not supposed to do and not do. And yet today we celebrate Easter, the day Christ rose from the dead. Christ rose from the dead and is victorious and it's finished because he could bring himself back up. He had the power to do it. It is finished in the Greek means this, paid in full. Very simple. You probably knew that before I even said it. But is that not the words that we all look forward to while we're paying our bills, house bill, car bill, bike bill, whatever we have payments on? I don't know about you, but I look forward to that day when I get that stamp and it's paid in full and I don't have to make another payment. And I had a long payment one time to do with IRS. It took me over 10 years to pay it. Just one bill. I'm not going to go through the reason why and all that, but I remember the day my dad constantly, it was the biggest blessing I think I ever gave my dad other than getting saved, was to call him up. He was the first person, other than my wife, that when I called up, I said, "Dad, I don't owe him a dime anymore." It's a tremendous relief, is it not, when we pay something off that we've been paying on? It's a time of relief. We owe nothing. No more payments. The debt is finished. It's paid in full. And when Christ said these words on the cross, everything was paid in full. We didn't have to do any of that stuff on that list of things there, of all those offerings. No more payments of offerings for our sins as they did in the Old Testament. And here's a tremendous extra blessing. Even the Holy of Holies is now open to us. When it is finished, God meant it was finished. Turn to Matthew 27, verse 50. Matthew 27, verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice and yielded up the ghost. There's another verse that shows that he yielded up the ghost. There was several verses that talk about that. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks were in it. Now, they didn't have doors like we have doors today. A lot of times, some of the doors in the Holy of Holies, the holy place, you go into the court, then you go into the holy place, and then in the holy place is another door to go in the Holy of Holies. What it is a huge veil crosses over that. That's the door. Think of it as a big placement rug. Huge. Not something any man had the ability to tear if they wanted to. And the neatest part is, it was torn from the top to the bottom. This thing was huge. It's not something you'd have to have a ladder to get to the top of it. Showing that God is the one that did the tearing. And number two, when he tore that, he opened it up for us. Now I get to go to the very throne of grace in the Holy of Holies when I'm praying to God. So do you. Anybody that knows Christ gets to go all the way there. You talk about an extra blessing of being finished. I wanted you to understand, and I'm not giving you all the things of why it is finished. But I wanted you to understand today what took place between the cross and the day he rose again today. When it is finished, God took care of business. And Christ paid it all for us. No more laws. No more sacrifices. No more high priest going in once a year for us. We get to go up there ourselves and talk to the Lord. We get to confess our sins right to God. Right into the Holy of Holies. Now, I don't know about you, but that's sacred. Remember now, back then, the Holy of Holies, only a priest could go in, and only once a year, and they had to put bells and ropes on his feet just to keep him there, because if he went in with one sin, God would have struck him dead. I gave you the illustration where they were moving the Ark of the Covenant, and it hit a rock, and it looked like it was going to fall, and the one guy tried to save it, and God killed him instantly. That's when David was having it moved back to Jerusalem. We got it easy today because we live by the dispensation of grace. Because Christ paid the debt. We live by mercy, forgiveness of God. And I don't know if you realize how much that involved. Because just think about how you would have lived in the Old Testament if it weren't for Christ dying on that cross. Romans chapter 8 verse 2 says this. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free, or us free, from the law of sin and death. When we hear the word, it is finished, it truly is done. The Holy Spirit works in us to be close to Christ and be Christ-like. We get to go to heaven because of what Christ did, not because we're doing something to get there. And as we grow in Christ and study His Word and pray in Him, this is why it's so important to be here every week. This is why it's so important to be reading your devotions every week or to be praying regularly every week. Because we have a sin nature and it's going to be fighting us every step of the way. And when you're not growing, you're going backwards. There's no plateau where you stay there. And you know what the best part about all this is? Back then, they had to do the law. Is the law still in effect today? Yes, it is. The law is good. But the difference is, today, I wake up every day and I want to please God. I'm falling deeper in love with Him. My faith is growing as I grow closer to Him. And I get up and I want to fulfill the law. I'm not under the law, but I want to fulfill it. I want to please God. The law is good. The Scripture teaches us it's good. It's perfect. Doesn't mean I'm going to accomplish every piece of it. But I get up and I want to please Him just the way a husband and wife should be trying to please each other when they get up. Because you're in love with each other. And you should be growing deeper and deeper in love with your Savior and with God the Father. Because it is finished. Because of what He did to say those words, that is finished. To make a way for us that we can accept Christ as our Savior and be able to get to heaven. We have that. I just pray that the people that were around when we go to these, my greatest regret now yesterday is not being there at the end just to hear that salvation stuff. I was really excited to hear that. I've been expanding my prayers at ABATE more and more to be more about talking about salvation and all, because I'm concerned for all those people at ABATE. And when we go to a poker run or whatever we do locally, well, all the different runs, that we can be a testimony and be the light in a dark place, that someone will eventually see something and say, I want a part of that. And we get to do that because we're getting closer to the Lord, because we're not under all this stuff that we have to do it. But we get up every morning and say, I can't wait to please my Savior, to please my God. Why? Because it is finished. Let's pray.
We pray that we have been a blessing to you. For further assistance, call us at 864-270-1472 anytime. Send email to info@stlmm.org or visit our website at www.stlmm.org. Like any ministry, it costs money to operate. Please consider supporting this ministry as God leads you with your prayers and your financial gifts by going to www.stlmm.org and clicking on donations.